Nothing in this show should be considered legal, medical, financial, or investment advice. Information presented is from internet or other news sources. Always do your own research and due diligence. We're not responsible for and expressly disclaim all liability for damages of any kind arising out of use, reference to, or reliance on any information contained in this broadcast.
Hey everybody, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. And boy, I'll tell you, there's been a lot of stuff going on, and the reason why I was gone for a couple of weeks, simple fact, I had some medical issues, and those were taken care of, we hope. Anyhow, you know, we always have to do some shout-outs to everybody that is responsible for the show. And we need to do that because if we don't, certain people get angry. So anyhow, welcome to Money and Change right here on the Trim Radio Network. And let's get going on the shout-outs. And here's the brain trust of the Trim Radio Network. We have Michael Bejas, who's the founder and CEO. In other words, the chief operating officer. And he's responsible for all the overall vision, mission, leadership, and performance of the entire company. He's a good guy, too. We also have Raskella Steffen, and he's the chief operating officer responsible for the day-to-day operational management and of the network and the efficiency and quality of what we have. And then there's, I guess, me, the chief operating relationship Boy, I'll tell you what, you go away for 2 weeks and you lose your lips, I'll tell you. Anyhow, the chief relationship officer, I'm supposedly responsible for building and maintaining the foundational trust and goodwill necessary for long-term success. And we have been on the air for, almost 10 years. I would say that would be pretty good. But we have to have your help, too. And we do have some good shows and a lot more shows coming up, too. Also, we have Victoria Smith, the Chief Marketing Officer, responsible for all marketing activities, brand development, audience growth, and creator acquisition strategies. And I'll tell you what, she has a good show that's on, and you have to check it out because it's great. And if you need any marketing advice, she's the person to go to. Trust me, she's excellent. Also, we have our programs, and I'll tell you what, we have Money and Change, of course, every Sunday at 7 p.m. And we also have The Next Day in the Vault, but I also post it on our Facebook page. So Money and Change is every Sunday at 7 p.m. Life Walk with Christ God with Michael Bejas at 7 p.m. on Wednesdays. Right after that comes My World with Live, Laugh, and Whatever, Wednesday at 8 p.m. And I'm doing some interviews now, so we will be having some guests as well as maybe a little bit of Southern comedy. Also, we have the National Marketer Podcast, or Natural Marketer Podcast, with Victoria Smith on Thursdays. So you want to check her out. Also, we have Offsides College Football Top 25 with Michael Bejas and company. We also have the Positude Podcast, and that's going to be every Friday at 8 p.m. Then we have The Adventure Waits Around the Bend with guests. And anyhow, that's going to be on Saturday at 1 p.m. So you want to check that out. We have Ranch It Up with Tigger and Beck, and that's on Saturday at 1:30. Then we have the biggie. Yep, we have Raskella Steffen is doing his Red Pill reality show every Saturday night at 9 p.m. through midnight. And he brings on different guests. I've even been on the show before. And I'll tell you what, he has a really good show, really does. And he talks about a lot of different topics. So you need to check him out. Also, coming up in a couple of weeks, we're going to have the amazing Dora. She will be doing her own show. We have, oh, a few other shows being planned, like Revelation. Yeah, Revelation. You want to check that one out. So if you want to do your own show on the Trim Radio Network, it's easy to do. All you have to do is click on this red button over here on the right side of the screen. If you click on it, it says, hi, how can we help you today? Put your name in, your phone number, and say, I want to know more about doing my own show on the Trim Radio Network. Here's my cell phone number. Here's my email address. Contact me as soon as possible. And then you go down, you hit send message, and somebody will be in touch with you very quickly. It's very easy to do. I mean, if I can do it using StreamYard, you can do it. And you can do your own show. Really, it's not that difficult to do. So just get a good, interesting topic and contact us, and we'll get you on the air, okay? Very easy to do. But to support the show, I'm going to tell you this. Buy the merchandise. Yes, we do have merchandise, and we have t-shirts, hats, mugs. Hey, they forgot to put Life Walk with Christ God out front. They just show a blank mug. We're going to have to change that. We have the Money and Change t-shirt. And you can get that short sleeve t-shirt with our logo on there. We have our mug. And that's a travel mug with a lid. It's insulated. It is fantastic. So you want to get that. Also, we have our ceramic mug. We have the shirts for Offside College Football Top 25 Premium Pick A shirts. Yes, we do. We have other t-shirts too. Hey, that rhymes. And let's see what we've got on page 2. Kid shirts. More mugs. We like mugs. A round mouse pad. But we don't have any mice on there. Anyhow, we've got the Trim Creators dad hat. And we have the embroidered beanie. So it's cold weather outside. Get the beanie. Also, we have the Trim Creator Studio rubber case for AirPods. You supply the AirPods and buy the case and you can protect them. Okay, so that can be done. Let's see what's on page 3. Oh, we've got the tank tops, better known as racerbacks. Okay. And we also have unisex t-shirts, and we can get more on there for you to buy. And I'll tell you what, the money that you use to purchase your goods, we take the money that we get and we use it to pay for airtime, because airtime is not cheap. It really isn't. And if you want to donate to keep us on the air, donate. Just hit that red button on the right-hand side. Say, hey, I want to donate to keep Money and Change on the air, or the Trim Radio Network on the air, and just click on it and we'll give you the information. Also, if you want to advertise, we have very good advertising rates. Just contact Victoria Smith and she will tell you the rates and how to do it, okay? And you can advertise on the Trim Radio Network, better known as trimradio.com. What else is going on? Oh, the Money and Change page. Oh, yes, I have to show you that. Money and Change / Financially Prepped. We have people that are members there, and we send out notices, and you can also check out what we have on our page. Now, if you go down here to where it says Join Me for Live Edition, okay, in the comment section, we have everything that we're going to talk about tonight, plus maybe a little bit more, so you can see it here, and I'll tell you what. I wouldn't post it if I didn't think it wouldn't help you at all. So, you know, I like to find things that will help people save money or even make money. Also, the top 5 canned soups. It tells you the worst, then it tells you the best. Honestly, it's up to you as far as soup and saving money, but you can do a lot with soup in tough times. And economically, we're getting into some tough times. I don't know about you, but if you go to the grocery store, you're paying more for your food. especially vegetables right now are expensive because we don't grow lettuce in the U.S. in the winter time. We have to get it elsewhere. Like a lot of vegetables, a lot of different things. So, you know, you got to have to save money, and you have to maybe use some soups to help you make other things edible. So you might want to do that. Also, how to save as much money as possible with Amber Stork. Yes, the Prepper Princess. And she has 20 ways to save as much money as fast as you can. Watch that video and save some money, will you? Also, Essential Civil Unrest EDC, Everyday Carry Kit. I watched that and I thought, hey, everybody ought to have an everyday carry kit because you never know when you're going to need it. Now, am I a prepper? No, but I'll tell you what. You can put together your own kit, maybe a small spiral writing pad, a pen, a small flashlight, maybe some extra medications that you may need, maybe a couple of Band-Aids. You can outfit your kit the way you want to do it. It's very easy to do. And in the wintertime, I have one in my car, specifically for wintertime. And so if I go up to the University of Findlay for a basketball game or to Ohio University for a football game, that kit is in the car. It's a personal first aid kit and everything else. And I'll tell you what, it comes in handy. And if you're going to get a first aid kit, don't go out to Walmart or Costco or whatever and get one of those boxes with 300 Band-Aids in that don't fit or you can't use in an emergency. And get a good first aid kit, okay? Wow, what else do we have? A lot of other things in here. Be prepared for Civil War or World War. I saw that one. I thought, well, maybe we'll put that in there just in case. Now, I've known Reggie for, I would say, probably 8 years, 9 years, and he talks a lot about prepping, but he's a very good person when it comes to doing things like that, so you got to listen to him, and he knows how to store long-term foods. Oh, the $200 rule that will change banking forever. What happens if the banks say, you can only take out $200 at a time from an ATM. Oh, gee, I've got $400 to pay. Sorry, you can only take out $200 today, maybe $200 tomorrow, maybe $200 the next. You know, that can happen. And in some countries, that's the way it is. I believe in Greece, when their currency took a nosedive, they were only allowed to take it out, I believe, once a day or maybe twice a week. That gets a little bit rough. So, you know, I'm just trying to help you along here. So check out that video. Also, no power, no internet. Now what? Well, I'll tell you what. No internet? Guess what? And you know I've talked about these before. The GMRS radios are fantastic. I was chatting with Rascala Stefan last night. And he's going to be a guest on one of my shows. But he bought some more GMS radios, and the GMRS radios are fantastic. This is an Ocean 935G Plus with a Nagoya 771G antenna. I want to tell you something. That doesn't really ring a bell with you, but I'll tell you what. This GMRS radio, it's a 5-watt radio. I can talk from here to Dayton, Ohio, and that's 35 miles away to the repeater, maybe 36. And from that repeater, I can get out 90 miles, and I can talk to a lot of different people. And in an emergency, when the power is out and you're relying on battery power and everything else, these can be charged up, and your family members can be in communication with you. And the good thing is, tell your friends about them too, because you can set up a network with your friends. Hey, it's only $35 for 10 years of a license. Yeah, a 10-year license for $35, $3.50 a year to use one of these things, and there's no test. Great deal. Thank you, David Gilmore, for getting me onto GMRS radios. So we talked a little bit about communication too, and then we actually put up the videos of the past shows. So there you are, right there on our page. Check us out. Join the group. It's easy to do. Send us a message. Click on that red dot, and you can do that. Wow. What else do we have? Oh, yeah, the University of Findlay. I don't have any videos to put up about the University of Findlay, but I'm going to tell you this. I've talked about them for probably 10 years or more on the shows that I do. It's a good school. It really is. You want to check them out at www.findlay.edu. And you can get bachelor degrees there. You can get master's degrees. You can get doctoral degrees. And they have very, very, very good programs. And Dr. Kathy Fell, this will be her last year as president of the university. She's done a fantastic job, and they will find somebody to fill her big boots. I'm telling you, she had some big boots to fill when the last president left, and she took off running, and we've had more buildings on campus, more programs on campus. It's fantastic. The University of Findlay is located in Findlay, Ohio. They have three campuses in Findlay. They have the equestrian campus, which also does pre-veterinary science, and then equestrian studies. And then they have the hazardous materials campus, and that's on the other side of Findlay. And they talk about how to treat, care for, transport, whatever, hazardous materials. It's one of a few in the country for that school. And then they have the main campus with all of the other classes, including nursing, including pharmacy, business, education. I mean, they've got a lot of programs. I think they have over 85 undergraduate class study groups. Something to check. It's a great campus, great professors. Findlay's a nice town. It really is. It's an all-American city, about 40,000 people. There's plenty of stuff there for people to do. Okay? And if you were like me, when I went there, if I got bored with Findlay, I got in the car and I drove up to Bowling Green. So I spent some time at the research. I really did research. I did research at the Bowling Green State University Library. I had a card for that, and I could do some work up there. And between the two campuses, it kept me busy. Okay? So check out the University of Findlay at www.findlay.edu. It's a NCAA Division II sports school. They have very good football and they have very good basketball. So you want to check that out. I'd actually say wrestling too, swimming. I mean, they have a lot of stuff. So check them out. University of Findlay. Okay. But check out our stuff on our Facebook page. You have to. You can join us. It's a public group. Ask and ye shall get. Okay. Wow. What else is going on? Oh, yeah. USDebtClock.org. Wow. $38,625,145,000,000 in debt and climbing? Come on. Tell those guys in the government in Washington, D.C. to stop spending money. They're printing it out of thin air, and they're spending it. I mean, we're trying to save some money, right? And they're spending money. So we need to tell them, hey, we don't need money to go out to those NGOs, non-government organizations. We need to pay less taxes and get more for our money that we're paying in. If not, you might be out of a job. You know, it's getting to that way. We have to hold them to keep the national debt down, because it's costing us $112,655 per citizen. But per taxpayer, whoa, and taxes are coming up too. We have $355,810 to pay. That's $355,810. Per taxpayer. I don't know about you, but I don't have it. But I'm not in debt. That's one thing I don't have is debt. I paid down my debt a long time ago. My house is paid off. My car is paid off. I've got some money in the bank. I can do what I want to do, but I like to help people save money, and that's why I'm doing the show. Okay? Wow, let's get into Macy's. I don't know about you. How many of you have Macy's stores? You know, when I worked in Cincinnati, we had the Federated Building, which was right next door to the Enquirer Building where I worked. And the Federated was later bought out by Macy's. And so that was a big office building right next door. And they had a Macy's in Cincinnati, as well as elsewhere. And I think Macy's are realizing that they're having some financial difficulties because people don't have the money to buy things. And so here's one thing that they had. They had a notice, and this was in Zero Hedge, about Macy's Fulfillment Center. And that was in, Bloomingdale, I believe. But anyhow, what it said in the article said, the town has been in contact with Macy's management, the Northwest Regional Workforce Board, and the Connecticut Department of Labor to coordinate assistance for affected workers because they're having a layoff. Cheshire remains committed to supporting impacted employees and will continue to work with our regional and state partners during this transition. So it's the Cheshire area in Connecticut. And I'll tell you what, a lot of businesses are reducing staff, either laying them off or just firing them. A lot of businesses are shrinking or going out of business. And I'll tell you what, that gets scary, especially when a major facility like, I'll just say GM in Dayton, Ohio, went out of business, and they were manufacturing trucks. Well, they went out of business. Where did the workers go? They had to find other jobs. And then eventually a Chinese glass manufacturer came in and took over the plant. And now they're making windshields for cars. And other companies are coming in and taking some of that large land that the GM plant was on, and they're buying up little sections and creating new businesses there now. Hopefully the economy turns around and gets better. But when you have a layoff, that's a big deal, because sometimes you only get money to last you so long, and then that's it. Well, what else is going on? Big bet on apprenticeships. Hey, you know, there was a big debate a few years back on whether you ought to go to college or whether or not you should go to a trade school or whether you should take vocational education in high school. And people were looking at that. Well, with people being laid off, the Trump administration now is looking at apprenticeships. And they're starting to talk about $145 million funding to pay for apprenticeships. Now, that move really matters because it follows a long gap between rhetoric and reality, okay? They always said, go to college. And then you went to college and you assumed all this debt. And then you had a long road to hoe to pay it off, right? Well, now they're saying, okay, reality says we need people who can work in factories or who can run a CNC machine, who can do different types of things. So he's going to put out an executive order and try to get some more money out there for apprenticeship training. And, you know, for decades, the federal government has underestimated apprenticeships, relying instead on small grants and programs to help grow apprentices by nearly 80% over a decade. But that really never came to scale, according to the report. The real progress, but apprentices still make up just 0.3% of the labor force. And I'll tell you what, I've known people that go to a trade school, they learn plumbing, they learned electrical work, Some of them are construction supervisors. Some of them have plumbing companies that make very good money. So, you know, if you're debating whether or not to go to college, if you're going to go to college for business, or if you're going to go to college for pharmacy, things like that, that's fine. But if you want to get into the trades, you could be making over $100,000 a year in construction trade or in electrical work or plumbing very easily. Okay. And you can see this article on our website. Also, wow, college education offers, you know, a broad academic knowledge for diverse careers and so forth. And here's the plus and minuses. And I put them on our webpage so you can take a look at it. Vocational trade education, it's there. Okay, it's hands-on practical training. The training can be shorter, it could be less expensive, but it can really make you money in the long run. Speaking of money, I always tell people, pay down your debt. Put some money aside. You know, put up an emergency fund in case your car breaks down, you got to pay for something. Or you need a new roof on your house. So you pay off your debt, put some money aside, buy some long-term food, canned goods, canned meats, frozen vegetables, canned vegetables, freeze-dried foods. Be able to purify and store water. 3 gallons per person per day. You ought to have at least enough for a week to maybe a month in your house. You need that. Make sure you have your medications. You may talk to the doctor and say, hey, doc, I need some extra medication that I'm taking currently, and could you make that happen? See if that can work. So you have your medications. Make sure you have clothing for the season. It's starting to get cold here in Ohio. I mean, real cold this next week. We're going to be talking negative numbers, so we're going to have some heat. Make sure you have lights, alternative heat. Kerosene heaters, electrical heaters if you have gas. Be able to heat your house and keep your family warm. Gee whiz, I think I need blue tarps for my roof in case there's a leak. So you want to consider that. You also want to take a look at what is going on around you security-wise to make sure that you don't have people breaking in. And that's an important thing. I never really bring that up that much. But it's time that you do that. And if you haven't been prepping with food and medicine and water, you better get started. And there are some websites that I have on the Money and Change Financially Prep page. So you got to check it out. Okay. Wow. Home foreclosures. Oh, yeah. That's happening. According to Mary Preenan for the Epoch Times, she says, home foreclosures across America were on the rise in 2025. It's an increase by 14% from 2024, with Florida experiencing the highest numbers in the nation. Why? Hurricanes. Trying to get insurance for hurricanes. It's difficult to get. And there have been a lot of damage on the west coast of Florida, especially when you get into Naples, Sarasota, Bradenton, on up the coast. And I've seen the videos of when the hurricanes hit down there in St. Petersburg. I'll tell you what, they had to move a heck of a lot of sand out from their parking garages and unbury cars that were just covered with 4 and 5 feet of sand. There were damages of things down there. I knew one person, and check out his video, Ben Mallet, Life for Sale. He's on YouTube. Check him out, because he had a mansion, and I've been by that mansion so many times in Florida when I was there. And his pool was totally covered with sand. He's right on the beach. And I'll tell you what, Bel Air Beach, beautiful place, beautiful homes. And he's right on the beach, and a lot of them really had a lot of damage. And we're talking multi-million dollars damage because the homes are multi-million dollars too. Okay. But that's happening in Florida. They're having foreclosures on houses down there because of damage and you can't get insurance. It's tough. Well, the properties represent in Florida about a quarter of a percent of all housing units, a slight uptick from the 23% in 2024. Florida led the foreclosure filings last year, one in 230 housing units, followed by Delaware, one in 240 housing units, and South Carolina, one in 242, and Illinois and Nevada, one in 284. And foreclosure activity increased in 2025, reflecting a continued normalization of the housing market. And houses are getting more expensive. They really are. Some people are paying $300,000 and $400,000 for their homes. I would never pay that much for a home. Even if I was a multimillionaire, I would never do that. But we've got these foreclosures. And the banks are buying them back or taking them back and then trying to resell them to other people or companies that buy up large groups of homes. And that's what's happening in some areas. Wow, what else is going on? New York scammers plead guilty in $68 million adult daycare fraud scheme. Hey, this adult scam for healthcare, or not, well, not only healthcare, but I mean adult daycare, child care, and so forth. What's going on in Minnesota? I don't know how many millions, if not billions, if not trillions of dollars have been spent there. It's all alleged fraud. And once they do all the research, yeah, there's going to be a lot of money, which is tax money, because you get some money from the federal government and the state governments for child care. And they're sending it abroad. And they just have a front. It's a building. And they say it's child care, but there's nothing inside. Just, you know, signage, and that's about it. The same thing with adult daycare. Boy, I have a hard time talking. You know, I take 2 weeks off. Trying to talk now is difficult. Makes me want to drink filtered water. And I use a Berkey system. I'm not plugging Berkey, but it's very good. Takes out the chlorine taste in the water. So, you know, I mean, we've got a lot of scammers out here. And that's what's basically causing some of our national debt. Underwater auto trade-ins, read about it. I'm not going to go into that right now, but you want to take a look at that because people are trading in cars. They might owe $10,000 on the car still. The bank says, okay, or the car company or the dealership says, okay, we'll buy that car from you and we'll put you into a new car. And they still owe $10,000 on the car. Pay off the car. Stay out of debt, okay? You can do well with the used car if you just keep the maintenance up. You're good for 200,000, 300,000 miles. Hey, here's our first video.
The one-year cap on credit card interest rates of 10% starting on January 20th. JP Morgan warning it would significantly change the credit card business. Peter, sort out what those changes may look like. Let's welcome in now Bankrate senior industry analyst. That would be Ted Rossman. Ted, it is great to see you. Maybe start here. Can you just walk us through the math, Ted? You know, the average cardholder, and I'll let you pick out the balance and interest. How much could folks actually save if this went through? You know, can we put some numbers on this?
In theory, people could save a lot of money. The average credit card debt load is about $6,500, according to TransUnion. And the average interest rate's around 20%. So if you make minimum payments towards $6,500 at 20%, you're in debt for 18 years and you end up paying more than $9,000 in interest, this 10% cap would definitely help. Now, it would be only 1 year, and it's apparently something that would need congressional approval. It can't be done by executive order. So there's a lot of asterisks attached to this. The financial industry also says that they would have to cut way back on access to credit if this kind of thing were to pass. So there's a lot of unintended consequences. I actually think a better approach would be to take matters into your own hands, get a 0% balance transfer card, and try to pay the debt off that way.
He's right.
You mentioned an important point there, Ted. I just want to circle back on it, because that is an argument some have brought up, and you know this, against this. If you have a rate cap like this, so the argument goes, what you're going to really do is restrict access to credit. And I'm curious to get your take on that. One, do you agree with that? And two, if you do, who would feel the brunt of that immediately?
Yes, that's something I've been hearing across the industry, something that would most squarely impact people with lower incomes and lower credit scores, because credit cards are really all about risk management. It's a pretty amazing loan if you think about it. It's this open-ended credit limit that you can use pretty much anywhere, anytime, on anything. Lenders have to price for risk. It's unsecured debt. There's no home or car on the line as collateral. They worry people aren't going to pay them back. And right now, about 3% of credit card balances are delinquent. Another 4% are in charge-off status. So basically 7% are either late or in default. That's their big worry. So I've seen estimates, like the Electronic Payments Coalition did a study with the Missouri Bankers Association. They said somewhere between 82 and 88% of credit card holders could lose some or all access to credit if this kind of thing were to pass. 10% is a really low cap. The average is 20. Many people are paying 25, 30, even more. I mean, to find a credit card under 10%, that's a very niche option offered by a handful of credit unions to people with really good credit.
The other thing, Ted, is, I mean, if this happens, banks don't make as much on interest. They're going to try to make that back. And I'm curious how you think they may try to do that. Would it be higher fees, fewer rewards? What do you think?
This would really revolutionize the credit card industry, and not in a good way, I would say. I know we don't want you paying these high interest rates, but like I said, you can pay in full, you can get a 0% balance transfer, you can follow some other payoff strategies, work with a reputable nonprofit credit counselor. I just think the cutbacks would be so severe that if that many people are losing access to credit, well, then what? People need credit for groceries and car repairs, and we don't want long-term debt, but we also don't want you turning to a 400% payday loan. So I feel like there does need to be a trade-off here, and credit does fill a useful role in the ecosystem. So if this kind of thing were to pass, I don't think it will, but if it passes, I just think that there would be huge cutbacks in access to credit. Rewards would probably be decimated as well. Other fees would probably go up. Maybe these big banks who are making less on credit cards would charge more for auto loans, mortgages, bank accounts. I really feel like the effects would be widespread.
Let's say, Ted, I'm a viewer, I'm watching this. I am dealing with, you know, relatively high interest rates. You know, any advice, Ted, tips and tricks, you know, what I should do here? Should I sit tight and wait to see, hey, how this all shakes out?
I would say take matters into your own hands. Make your personal credit card rate zero. You can pay in full. I know it's easier said than done, but half of cardholders already do that. If you can't pay in full, there are 0% balance transfer cards available for up to 24 months. You could get a card like the U.S. Bank Shield Visa. 2 years interest free is amazing. Back to that $6,500 average debt load example, you could pay less than $300 a month for 2 years and be debt free, interest free. There's no free lunch. I mean, these cards do have interest rates that go way up after the 0% term ends. But use that time to your advantage, or work with a reputable nonprofit like Money Management International, who can bring your rate down to 7% over the next 4 or 5 years and really attack your debt that way. I just think the price control approach would have a real negative set of unintended consequences and would also set a bad precedent for other industries. Price controls don't feel like the way to go.
Yep. But you know they're going to do it. And that can happen. Wow, what else is going on? Well, like I always said, pay down your debt. and put some money aside. And if you're going to go to Walmart or Costco, wherever, and you're going to charge a lot and you don't have the money to pay it off, you're going to get deeper and deeper and deeper into debt, and you don't want to do that. You really don't. I think I learned that early on. I think I was only maybe $2,000-$3,000 in debt many years ago using a credit card. And I decided to pay it off. And I would get a little bit more debt on the credit card. I would pay it off again. And I got into the habit. If I bought something, when the bill came due, I paid it off. I didn't pay interest. And so when I go to what I call Wally World, better known as Walmart, and I'm getting a few things, I'm paying cash for just everything that I can, unless it's a big purchase. And then I will use the credit card, but then I'll pay it off as soon as it comes due. But I see people going there, buying groceries, using a credit card, and, you know, $300 worth of groceries, and they're putting it on a credit card. Are they going to pay that all off, or are they only going to pay off part of it and have to pay the rest the next month, or just little payments here and there? It scares me, people. Come on. It's scary the way that people handle credit. Like I said, my house is paid off. My car is paid off. I don't owe anything on my credit cards. And I'll tell you what, I want to keep it that way. Wow, what else is going on? We're going to have to add some more stuff here because I've got some more stuff to do. Oh no. I disappeared myself. Son of a gun. There I am. Buttons, aren't they great? Mm-hmm. Wow, let's see what else is going on. I'll eventually get there, guys. You know, it's my first time back. Wow, your financial to-do list this year. It's a month-by-month guide. Check this out.
Room for your non-essential spending wish list. Carrie, great to see you. So you offer us here, Carrie, a finance to-do list for 2026. And there's a few items just for January alone here, Carrie. So create a spending budget. You talked about an emergency fund, review your credit report. Is there one item there, you know, one task in particular, Carrie, just for January, maybe I should really prioritize if I want to set myself up for a financially healthy 2026?
Yeah, you know, Josh, I think the one thing that people neglect to do is to kind of take a minute and look backwards. And when you get those end of the year credit card statements that show you how you spent your money in 2025, it can be really eye-opening and a bit scary. They don't always have it in the right buckets, but when you get a sense of how you actually spent your money the previous year, you can spot areas that you're like, whoa, I do not need to go out to dinner so much, or whatever it might be. You can find ways to find savings right there by just understanding how you spent the previous year. The second thing that's on this list that's really important is make sure you have an emergency fund, because honestly, you don't know what's lying ahead in this year, and you could have some sort of medical thing that needs to be taken care of. You don't know as precisely what that might be, even a home, something that happens at your home or what have you. But if you have an emergency fund, you have a little cushion and a little peace of mind, and now's the time to make sure you have that set up.
What about retirement contributions throughout the year, Carrie? Walk us through how we should be thinking about that.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of doing what most employers allow us to do if you're lucky to have an employer-provided plan, which is regularly contribute. So whether the market's up or market down, you're making your contributions on a regular basis. But if you can possibly inch that up this year, you know, maybe you've already told your employer you want to go up 1% more, do it a little bit more. And you can actually do that anytime during the year. You can shift to how much you want to go into your retirement account. And you know, most financial companies tell you 12 to 15%, which including your employer match of your salary is a nice number to aim for. It's hard to get that high, but give it a shot to sort of up it up, you know, what you can contribute this year. And I think that's one financial move you'll thank yourself for.
Is there any kind of budgeting mistake, Carrie, or mistakes that you see people commonly make?
Yeah, I think the one thing is you forget that just this coming year, you're going to have, you know, an expense to go to your nephew's wedding, and that's going to be traveling, and it's going to be presents, or, you know, maybe a vacation that you have in mind, and you kind of neglect to put that in your budget because that's just this year. But those things add up, and it's really important to try early in the year to get a grip of what those sort of extra expenses just for 2026 are, and make sure you're set up to navigate those.
Finally, here, maybe I'm listening to this and I'm self-employed. Any particular advice there?
I'm so glad you asked that, because this is daunting. If you're self-employed, it is really difficult. So the best advice is automate, automate, automate. And what I mean by that is you need to be automating from each of the checks that you get from your clients, a percentage that's going to a high yield savings account for your quarterlies, for your tax, your estimated quarterlies for taxes for this calendar year. And set that aside so that you're prepared to make those estimated payments throughout the year on the schedule that the IRS has set up for you. And second of all, you know, take the time to automatically save for retirement. So this is hard to do as well, but set up a SEP IRA or an IRA. And if you're lucky, maybe you have a solo 401k, but each month or each paycheck, just automate a certain percentage going straight into that account. And so you're saving for retirement, similar to how someone who is going through an employer plan, you know, on a regular basis. So you're weathering the ups and downs. And again, Josh, another thing to remember for all retirement savers, you should stop at least one point during this year and say, am I comfortable with how my retirement savings are balanced? Should I be, you know, just a little more risk averse? Where, you know, your balance between equities and bonds, you can make that adjustment even in your employer plan, how much, what accounts, you know, what investments you have there. Do it with your new contributions, of course. But this is a way to sort of, if the market starts getting rocky this year, as we've seen in, you know, over time, that it's not always smooth sailing, then you're a little more comfortable.
Carrie, as always, great to see you.
Great to be here.
I got WTI at.
Oh, yeah. 60. I don't need to do this one. Not oil price outlook.
Where is that?
Oh, no. It jumped ahead. I didn't want it that way. Wow. West Virginia lawmakers propose Bitcoin investments with state funds. Okay, guys. You know what I say about cryptocurrencies? If you can't touch it, if you can't feel it, see it, or spend it, don't get into cryptocurrencies. A lot of people are saying, oh, get into crypto. It's just ones and zeros. And if somebody gets into your wallet and steals it, try finding it. Yeah, it's happened before. I always tell people, look up Mt. Gox, G-O-X, because billions were stolen and nobody knows where they went. So I hope that the people in West Virginia think about that. Hey, let's take a look at some of the stuff when you're talking a little bit about money here, okay? Look at gold. $4,612.10. You know, a few years ago, it was only 2,000 and something. Then it went 3,000. Now it's $4,612.10. It went down almost 20 bucks as we were talking. Silver. Years ago, when I bought silver, it was $15.60. Look at it now. $90.86. Now it dropped $2.31. We'll see what it does tomorrow. But could you imagine that? $90.86 now? I think I've made three times as much, maybe almost four times as much in value on the money. It's a good investment. But what they don't tell you is that silver can be used in manufacturing. And when you're making a lot of microchips and everything else, they're using silver. So maybe the value of silver is going to go up quite a bit. I don't know. But going from $15.60, now it's up to $90.86. Does that tell you something? People are using precious metals as a hedge on calamity. And as the calamity gets worse, the investment on precious metals is more. Platinum is $2,355.50. 5 years ago, guess what? Gold was down and platinum was way up there. Well, it just dropped $65.50 today. And then you look at palladium. Well, palladium is used in manufacturing, and palladium, you get that from Russia. So, you know, you're looking at investing in gold, silver, platinum, copper. But be careful. You have to make sure that it's stored well and it's protected well, and that you buy it from a very good source. Just because I'm saying APMEX doesn't mean that we can't go to silver.com or other groups. Just make sure that they are reputable. Hey, here's one that I saw, and I got to bring it to your attention, the failed bank rate or the failed bank list. This covers bank failures with the FDIC. And I keep hearing people saying, oh, such and such a bank failed. And I thought, oh, I better go find that list. And I did that today, and I'll use it next week when we talk about money and change again. But here, the Santa Ana National Bank in Santa Ana, Texas, and there's a certification number, 5520, was acquired by the Coleman County State Bank. Pulaski Savings Bank in Chicago, Illinois, was assumed by Millennium Bank. First National Bank of Lindsay in Lindsay, Oklahoma, was bought out by First Bank and Trust Company. Republic First Bank, doing business as Republic Bank in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, was bought out by Fulton Bank National Association, or better known as Fulton Bank NA. So anytime you have a failed bank, and let's just say the bank has a lot of stocks or paper on gold or silver, and they get shorted. In other words, they have more paper than they do have the physical stuff, okay? Guess what? They could fail. Sometimes the federal government buys them out under the table. But a lot of banks are bought by other banks, a lot of bigger banks. Check out that FDIC thing, the failed bank list, and it will be in our notes. Okay, so you can check that out. What else is going on? Oh, here's a good one. I better play this one before we get out of here.
Much more money than buying a car. Why do you keep hearing people say never lease a car? Take the total MSRP from the window sticker, including destination and handling, multiply it by 0.015. That's going to give you a payment. Shop your lease offers with first month's payment due at signing, 12,000 miles per year. That can be adjusted later. Taxes and fees in the payment, and tell dealers assume tier one. If all your lease offers come in above 1.5%, there's only two reasons for that. First is you didn't get enough discount from the dealership. You've heard me say in some of my videos, you can't negotiate your way to the bottom. You must get multiple offers to expose if you're dealing with an 80% dealer or a 20% dealer. Once you've gotten multiple offers and they're all over 1.5%, that means it's a bad lease program. When you lease, you cannot use your own bank. You're using the bank that has the affiliation with the car. So if you're buying a Mercedes, it's Mercedes-Benz Financial. If you're buying a Jeep, it might be Chrysler Capital, or sometimes they have credit unions or Ally Bank or U.S. Bank that will facilitate their leases. But you are not getting a pre-approval, and you're not shopping for your own rates when you're leasing. When all of your offers are over 1.5%, that means it's a bad lease program, and you have one or two options. You can check back the following month, because lease deals do change from month to month, or you pick a totally different model, because every single vehicle has a different lease program. If you're flexible, you'll see that you'll pick a different vehicle with a similar MSRP, and when you get all your offers, it'll come in at 1.2. or 1.4 or even 1%. The more support the bank or leasing company has put behind that vehicle combined with the discount you're getting from the dealer, the lower the percentage is going to be. On a $40,000 car, a 1.25% lease would be $500 a month with no money down. A vehicle that gets you to a 1% lease would be $400 a month on a $40,000 car with no money down. When you add up all those payments and see how much it costs you to drive that car over a three-year period, it's going to be incredible value. Now, it's great to have a brand new car, low payments, no worries about maintenance or things going wrong, but leasing is not for everyone. Purchasing a car costs you more in the short term, and there are less benefits in the short term. So I'm going to run out of warranty. I'm going to pay a high payment. And if I pay cash, I have to save up a bunch of money, bunch of payments, put it into a car. I also have to maintain and repair that car if things go wrong. But the longer I keep the car, 8, 10, 15 years, the less it costs me to own that car overall. There's not many benefits to purchasing other than paying off the car and being able to keep it long-term and minimize your overall cost of ownership. People who keep their cars 8 to 15 years should never consider leasing. Almost everyone else should. If you like the Car Shop with Strategy, download my free cheat sheets in my bio or the comment section.
Yeah. Hopefully it saves you some money. Wow. That's about all we've got, guys. You want to check us out right here on the Money and Change / Financially Prepped page on Facebook. It's easy to join us. Just send me an email. Click on that red dot. And if you forgot where the red dot is, guess what? It's right here. Click on the red dot. And put your name in, your phone number, and say, I want to know more. I want to join Stu's Money and Change / Financially Prepped page on Facebook. Okay, and we can do that. Anyhow, I hope I saved you some money today. I hope you check us out on the Trim Radio Network. If you want to do your own show, let us know and we'll do that. We'll help you all through the way to get your own show going, and we've got some new shows coming up. Wow. With that, guys, guess what? It's time to get out of here. Have a good week. Save some money. Watch what you spend and start prepping by getting some food and water in. See ya next Friday. No, next Sunday. What's going on Friday? I don't know. Hey, next Friday. No, have fun Friday. We'll see you next Sunday at 7 p.m. right here on the Trim Radio Network. See ya.